This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Welcome, everyone, to The Missing Link. I'm your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the waggish Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you?
That's the best word ever. I'm great, Sean. How are you?
I'm relieved, actually.
Oh, did you just go to the bathroom,
Sean? No, Micah. Gosh. No.
I'm just checking.
No, I'm relieved because by the time everyone hears this, I will be in Vegas at PubCon Vegas, which is really kind of like the Super Bowl of conferences.
Awesome.
It is amazing. I go there every year. Brett Tabke, Joe LaRocha put on this great event. And they, I guess because I'm friends with them, they asked me to speak. But they also, I'm the only person there out of all of the sessions, out of all the 3,000 plus attendees, I have the only session related to LinkedIn marketing. So
because you're the LinkedIn king, I think.
You know, in a room filled with blind people, the one admin is king. Isn't that the same? So, I guess when you're the only one talking about LinkedIn at a conference. Right. But mm-hmm. What was funny is because I was sitting there and, you know, working on my presentation, and I usually start with an outline. You know, I'm writing down my thoughts. And anyone who's ever written knows that moment of fear and apprehension when you're looking at the blank page, right?
Yes. Oh my God.
And even though I talk about LinkedIn every single week, I'm like, what do I talk about? I'm freezing up. I'm like a little nervous here. So I start going through and I'm thinking of how I want to take this journey for the audience at Vegas. And what was very helpful was a couple of tips. Number one, I keep things limited to three big ideas. So the point of my topic is going to be the three P's of LinkedIn, why your profile is important, why you need to post frequently, and why you need to participate. So for me, it was kind of easy because I was thinking of three things that I can focus my topic on. But then I was like, well, where am I going to get the data for this? But you know what, Micah?
What?
It's because of that LinkedIn discussion group that we have. I was able to quickly go in, pull up all those resources that are underneath promotion that we share frequently. I was able to come through, look at what our audience is asking about, and able to come in and do a presentation for an audience that I'm not really quite sure their level of skills. But because of that LinkedIn discussion group, I had the material and the information that I think is going to make a big impact.
Exactly. That is awesome to hear, Sean. I hope they join us.
They should. And trust me, I'm going to give a plug for the show.
But, oh, good.
But since people are listening now, I do want to get them over to that LinkedIn discussion group, Micah, because again, it's huge. Everyone is participating actively in it. That I'm always blown away. By how that discussion group really not only drives the content of the show, but really helps people's life. So, Micah.
Oh, yeah. Success is all over the place over in that group.
Yeah, exactly. So, Micah, how do they get to that super secret LinkedIn discussion group?
Here it is. I want you guys to pull out your mobile phones and text us at 41411, and you'll use the keyword MyLink, MyLink with no spaces.
All one word, everybody, because I've noticed some of you doing my space link. It's one word.
Yep. Don't let it autocorrect. Gracious. And then if you're outside the continental United States, you'll send us an email at missinglink@rainmaker.fm. Easy peasy.
Exactly. And come and join us in that group. And here's why. Because as I said earlier, much of the content for the show is derived from there. And what this episode is about is that we had talked previously with Sean Dolan about advertising on LinkedIn. And AJ Wilcox joined the group and started getting in there and just sharing all sorts of awesome information.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And I was looking at his posts, his comments in the discussion groups, and I'm like, we're totally getting this guy on the show. And it goes in line because Alan Belniak, I believe, right? Al, if I messed up your name, I'm sorry.
Belniak
came into the discussion group. He's been asking questions about advertising. Yep. So I had an expert in our group about specifically LinkedIn advertising. We had someone in our group that was asking questions. And I said, there's a topic for a show.
I love it. We've made a marriage.
So after the break, and when we come back from the break, Micah and I are going to interview AJ Wilcox with some amazing user success stories in advertising using sponsored updates on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And you will not want to miss how he figured out how to target people, going from an initial list of 600,000 to a list of 2.6 million. So make sure you stay tuned right after this break.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. And Micah, please introduce our very special guest to talk about, in detail, advertising on LinkedIn.
I am so excited. AJ Wilcox was a superstar in our super secret Missing Link LinkedIn group. And when I looked at his profile, he says, "I make LinkedIn advertising campaigns rock." He doesn't need any more introduction than that.
AJ, welcome to the show. We really appreciate you being here, man.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
You know, again, it really was something. You got into our group. You started contributing. You started answering questions. And quite frankly, AJ, Mike and I were blown away. So I'm like, Micah, get AJ on the show. Because we had Sean Dolan talk about a lot on LinkedIn advertising, and he gave some general good overall concepts. But your expertise in LinkedIn is very different. So why don't you inform our audience a little bit about what you do and why your expertise in LinkedIn matters?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so my story is I'm a longtime online marketing guy, spent lots of time doing search engine optimization, doing pay-per-click advertising on platforms like Google. And here about 4 years ago, I got recruited into a local tech company that just received its Series B round, and I got recruited in to go run all of their digital marketing. And so I went to talk to the CMO and told her, you know, here's my plan for SEO, here's my plan for PPC. And she said, okay, all that sounds great, but just so you know, we just started a pilot test with LinkedIn, see what you can do with it. And you know, I was feeling pretty hot on myself. I'd been doing this stuff for, you know, 4.5, 5 years, and I'd never heard of LinkedIn ads. And so I told her, yes, ma'am. And I turned around and started giggling to myself because I'd never heard of it. So kind of to keep the egg off my face, I jumped into the platform, started playing around, started trying to figure things out. And within about 2 weeks, one of the sales reps came up to me and said, "Hey, AJ, whatever you're doing, keep it up. I love your leads." And so I checked out the leads that he was servicing, and they were all sourced from LinkedIn.
Oh, wow.
I was like, ooh, okay, this is promising. And so I spent more and more time in the platform, invested more and more, made this massive account that where I felt like I had kind of explored every crevice of LinkedIn traffic. And anyway, just had a massive success with it. So after the course of about 3 years of seeing these sales reps come to me every month saying, "Hey, if you can send more LinkedIn leads, please do," I eventually said, "Okay, I've had this entrepreneurial itch for a while. I need to scratch it." So I went off on my own, quit my full-time job to start b2linked.com, which is just my agency that specializes only in LinkedIn advertising.
Oh, wow. So you took the crazy idea of maybe if it works for this one tech company, it may work for other companies as well. So.
That's the thought. And you know, in the online marketing industry, LinkedIn ads is entirely ignored. I mean, you don't see it on any lists. You don't see anyone else specializing in it. Whereas if you're trying to be an AdWords guy and stand out, good luck.
Yeah.
Like you had to be there 10 years ago.
Yeah. It's definitely a blue ocean strategy by focusing just on LinkedIn advertising. So let's get into this because again, you know, I want to know, give us a great case study. You obviously had experience in generating leads, but I want to talk the details of a specific campaign, something that's maybe used, let's say, sponsored updates, for instance. I want a specific campaign, how you put it together, how you thought through what it executed, what were the results. That's what we want to hear.
Okay, cool. Well, so one of my clients is a tech company called ObservePoint, and what they do is is a site monitoring technology where, you know, on websites we have all of these digital marketing tags, we have retargeting tags, we have analytics tags, and the vast majority of the time those are placed incorrectly. So what they're trying to reach the web admins, the analytics admins, analytics developers, you know, that very, very narrow segment of population. No one else cares about this data quality. Some people in the marketing department might, but usually it's this analyst, this marketing ops type role. And so what happened is you know, we went after job titles. We said, okay, we want web analyst, we want analytics developer, we want, you know, all these like niche titles. And we ended up with an audience size of something like 600,000. And just from our own experience, we knew that there were more of those people out there. So, and this was all on sponsored updates, by the way. So, you know, we launched this, we weren't super happy with the volume. We wanted more. We knew there were more of these people out there that we weren't reaching. So what we did is we took a list of the top 200 customers, ran them through a social aggregation tool, and it went and pulled all the profile information for all of their top customers. These are the people who had actually done business with them. Then part of these profiles, it would pull out their skills and it would pull out their groups from LinkedIn, which now we have something else to tie these folks together, not just their job title, because as you know, job titles on LinkedIn are, it's a free form field, really hard for LinkedIn to properly categorize them. Anyway, so we built this campaign around the top, like we did a frequency distribution, found the top, let's say 8 skills that all of these guys shared, put them into a campaign, and we ended up with an audience size of like 1.2 million.
All right, now let's stop there for a second, because sure. This is really important. So I wanted to summarize what you just said. You went into the sponsored update tool, right, which is only available if you have a company page, correct?
Correct.
Okay. You went in there, you did an initial kind of search based on specific titles. You found about 600,000 people. You weren't happy with that. So then you went and got a list of their top 200 customers for your client, your client's top 200 customers. You then put that into the sponsored update to see all of the skills, not job titles, the skill sets that people had that were common. Did a frequency analysis of that, basically saying how many times did the word X come up? And then based on that list, you then went back into sponsored updates and then said, based on this refined list of skills, not job title skills, show me this universe. And it ended up being 1.2 million. Did I summarize that? Okay. Got
Absolutely.
It. All right.
Perfect.
And yes. So now the important point there was job title alone may not get you the audience you want, which I think is the first thing that people automatically assume. And by going in and looking at the skill sets, you found a much broader audience to reach.
Absolutely.
Got
it. In fact, on that same point, it is so important to not only use job title targeting, because job title targeting, because it's a free form field, LinkedIn isn't able to put everyone into a job title. And so you're automatically excluding a big chunk of your audience already by only doing job title. I do recommend doing job title, but in concert with other types of targeting. And then it's also the first place, like you said, that marketers go to when they're targeting someone. And so the people who do have job titles are going to have a higher cost per click because it's more competitive. So find alternate ways of reaching these people.
Nice. Okay. So you finally got your 1.2 million list. Then what'd you do?
All right. So then I did the same thing with groups, found the top 11 groups that these people were members of. And they were all like Google Analytics or Adobe Analytics types of groups, and ended up with an audience size of 1.4 million. And so we look at skills campaign with 1.2, the groups that were like 1.4, and we go, okay, that's a little bit more like the market.
So you got about 2.6 million combined between the 1.4 and the 1.2.
Right. And probably lots of those are going to have overlap, but even still, we felt really confident that we were hitting more of the right people and able to properly scale.
Got it. Okay. So you got your audience identified. You found them in the groups. You found them again by looking at the current customer segment, a huge, huge important point. Look at the current customers, find the skills, find the common groups, go from there. All right. So you got your audience now. What did you do next?
All right. So at that point, so let me preface this by saying I am a nut about analytics and attribution. I track everything down to the individual ad level, and even deeper, I will track everything down to the individual ad element level, which means in a sponsored update, you have 4 fields. You have an intro, a headline, a description, and an image. I test all 4 of those elements religiously, and I swap them in and out. So and then I'm tracking each of their progress, not only just to the lead, but I'm tracking them further down the funnel. Like if someone has a CRM and they're able to show you like interactions with the sales team and closes and revenue, I track all of that. So that was my next step, is make sure we're tracking all the way down so we can now compare all 3 of these groups side by side. Some may have higher conversion rates, some may have lower cost per click, and it's super important to take a look at all of them.
So what kind of campaign did you run? You were doing a sponsored update, right? So that means that you created up some content, correct?
Yes.
And you publish that content out using the sponsored update feature to that 2.6 million universe of people, essentially, right?
Yes.
And so the writing of that, were you A-B testing different types of sponsor updates with different headlines, or was it just the one piece of content or a series of content that you just put out there into the wild?
So what we did, the company worked really hard on putting together this sweet piece of content. It was an ebook that talked about premium data quality. Mm-hmm. And so what I will do is take that one piece of content that they want to push, and I'm going to create two A-B versions of them. So mm-hmm. I'll usually try testing the intro first, because I feel like that's the most effectual part of the ad. Mm-hmm. And so I'll create two versions of that. I'll let it play out, find out which one of those wins. I'll keep the winner and then start testing headlines. Images.
Now, when sponsored update, where is it appearing in your target audience? Where are they seeing the sponsor update?
Oh, great question. So the sponsored updates are always in their news feed. On the app, that's the home screen. In the website, it's also the home page. It's wherever you're seeing the feed of all of your activity.
Okay. So you have this one piece of content, you're A-B testing different elements of that one piece of content, you're publishing out to your 2.6 million, doing your A-B testing through there. It goes out there, and then what happens?
So at that point, we watch the results roll in, right? I mean, LinkedIn does have a little bit more premium of a cost per click. I mean, I listened to your face off with John Loomer, and it's true. Like, Facebook is going to average an 80 cent to $1.40 per click. LinkedIn is a $5 to $8 usually. Mm-hmm. And so not only are you going to spend a little bit more money, but it's going to take more time to gather that data. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, it becomes sort of a waiting game. I mean, you're not only looking at cost per lead, you're also looking at cost per sales opportunity, and you're looking at cost per close. And most of these B2B companies have longer sales cycles.
Right. So what happened?
So we're actually still waiting out. This has been fairly recent. We're still waiting out the sales cycles, but we were able to get a cost per lead that was less than half of what it was in the previous campaign. I'm still trying to feel out if that is because of our targeting, or if it's because the piece of content was just rocking. But yeah, these are all these things that I want to be testing.
Yeah. And I think this is important because it does, in the B2B environment, does take time. And I think the key point of what you previously said was, you really, as a marketer, if you're working with clients or you're doing it internally, you really have to own that entire process and get the data from that in process so that you can come back and say that from this event, this is a lead that closed. This was a lead that was sitting in the pipeline forever. I mean, you really have to have that end-to-end point to be able to really not only justify the spend, but also to see the return on that ad spend, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, if you're not tracking all the way through the funnel, if you're not tracking everything, it's going to appear like your Facebook ads are performing better when they don't usually. I mean, if mm-hmm. Facebook has a lower cost per click, and so you're going to end up seeing a lower cost per lead coming from Facebook. But then as you monitor those leads next to the same leads you're generating from LinkedIn, LinkedIn will usually pass it at the cost per sales opportunity realm. And then plus, LinkedIn almost always turns out to be a larger deal size, mm-hmm. and they accelerate faster through the funnel. They're more.
Wow.
Yeah, they're more qualified people.
And that's important too, because mm-hmm. again, you know, the Facebook and the Google guys out there are like, look, it's cost us nothing to generate all these, you know, but if you're only looking at half the picture, then you're not seeing the entire cost. And that's what, again, I really, really like about your approach. It is that that complete from A to Z look at the whole thing, because I think too many times, especially if you're not sophisticated in it, you only look at half the equation and not the other half, which is, wow, of the 10 people that we got, or the 100 or the 1,000, they came from LinkedIn and they actually generated a sale, right, versus people that are sitting in a pipeline forever.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about mobile, because and the nice thing is, some of these questions are coming from our group, like Alan Belniak. I hope, Alan, I said your name right. He had some questions. We're going to hit on him, but I want to talk about mobile in particular, because obviously mobile matters a lot. And what has been your experience with ads on mobile on LinkedIn?
Okay, great question. And this is a hot button too. So through the self-service platform, where you can go to linkedin.com/ads and create an account and start running your own ads today, you have access to two different ad units. One of them is called text ads. They're over to the right side of the page in the right rail. It's a three pack of little text ads, little 50 by 50 image, not very much real estate. These same ads were created back in 2008, and they've been largely unupdated. So I think most of us are banner blind to these. So if you have a, if you have an audience size that is smaller, you're not going to see many clicks come from this ad unit. Still okay. I mean, the traffic's still premium, but the ad unit's not great. On the other hand, you have the new hotness, which is the sponsored updates. And sponsored updates, as opposed to the text ads, they appear on mobile. So if you're on a mobile device, you'll notice you never see a text ad. That's because they're desktop only.
Because it's going through that news feed, which is the primary experience you see when you go into your LinkedIn app.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And then you as an advertiser, you don't get control over what mix of mobile versus non you're getting. So you really do have to concentrate on your mobile experience. You really should be mobile first, because 65% or more of your traffic is going to come from it.
Right. So you got 65% coming from the mobile experience. And that's been your what you're seeing in the LinkedIn network is when you're doing these sponsored updates, you're seeing a more than 50% of that traffic originating from the mobile experience, which I would assume they go to the mobile at some point, they're going to hit that mobile site, right?
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And so that's an important point, because if your site is not mobile responsive, then you may be wasting a ton of money, because if they're clicking in the mobile LinkedIn app and they see the ad, they see the update, they're reading through, and then they go to your site, which is the end call to action of most campaigns. If that site isn't highly optimized for that mobile device, you have a problem.
Oh, yeah. You're going to look at your data and you're going to say, oh, my text ads convert at, let's say, $80 per lead, and my sponsored updates are at $220. Why? And it's again because the mobile experience sucks.
That's right. Exactly. Now, Alan on our group did have some very interesting questions. And Alan, again, thank you. Thank you for coming in and participate. He's the principal social media manager over at The MathWorks. And he's had a couple of questions specific to advertising. So his first question that I wanted to get your opinion on, and Alan, I'm doing this for you, buddy. using groups to target an ad, what's the specific action? So he's asking a bit about when you're placing ads in groups, which again, the campaign you're working on had that element. How do they actually work? How does group ads actually work?
Okay, super important to understand this distinction. When you are targeting by a group, or you're targeting by a job title or someone's level of seniority, all of these things are the same. It doesn't dictate how and where your ads are shown. The only thing it's doing is dictating what type of person you want in your audience. So if you target someone by the group they're a member of, they're still going to see your sponsored update in their feed. They're still going to see your text ad when they're looking to add a connection. These are it doesn't change where your ads are seen. So don't worry if you're targeting someone by their group, it's not only going to show them ads while they're inside that group.
Ah, very important point. And that's very, very helpful, actually. The other question that he brought up, and I think this is kind of a general, and I think it's a good way to kind of get to the end of our interview, is, you know, we wrote on Copyblogger about the fact that, you know, ad blocking software is taking off. Now, Alan had a question about it. We wrote a post recently on Copyblogger about this ad blocking, you know, and of course, publishers are freaking out because, you know, God forbid, nobody sees their ads up there. What are you telling people out there that may be concerned about the impact of this ad blocking to their particular campaigns?
Yeah. So first of all, people don't view LinkedIn ads as being overly intrusive. And so a lot of people are not adding LinkedIn to their list of sites that, that ad block takes effect in. So I think that's one. I think as consumers, we feel like we're bombarded by ads all the time and we can't get away from it. And I get that. I've used ad block in the past. But because I work in the ad industry, I kind of need to see my own clients' ads. But my feeling is those people whose ads are being blocked for, they're opting out because they're not someone who's going to interact with them anyway. We already know that display advertising is only interacted with by like 3% of the population or, you know, somewhere around there. And so I don't think it's going to affect us very much. But I will say that the beauty of native advertising, like LinkedIn sponsored updates that appear right in your feed, ad block's not going to take those out.
That's right.
The more we engage in types of advertising that are very content heavy and helpful and less of the hard sell and the push, the fewer people are going to try to opt out.
Yeah. And this is, I think, you know, one thing that Sean said, which I really agree with, was that you really need to test a whole bunch of different things. Maybe text ads are the perfect thing for you. Maybe they are, right? Maybe sponsored update. You always have to have a part of your ad budget to test with. But there is a benefit to sponsored update, which you pointed out, which is it is in your newsfeed, right? It is going to show up. And this is another point, AJ, is that if you're getting that much traffic from mobile, the ad blocking is not necessarily going to be inside of the LinkedIn app, right?
That's a great point.
Which is where the newsfeed is going to be. So if you're getting more than 50% of your traffic for a sponsored update from the mobile experience, that's not going to be blocked. So I do think it gives a lot of credence to this idea of really focusing on the sponsored update. I love your targeting ideas. I think that because I you know, if you were asking me, Sean, go run an ad campaign, I would probably go with job title first. Big mistake. I love the skills idea. I love the idea of the groups and finding your common from your core customer, finding those additional bits of information that you can expand your universe. Use the sponsored update, A/B test the headline out there, realize that a big chunk of that traffic is going to come from a mobile device. So you better have a strong landing page on the mobile experience for them. I mean, I just love that whole context of what we've been talking about.
And it makes us more sophisticated marketers, right? It keeps us on our toes.
You know, it's so funny because really that's, you know, we kind of went from the days of, well, I think people are seeing this to now we're all the performance marketers. And that's really what we're talking about, right? Performance marketing. We're measured on the performance we do. There are a lot of skills that you have to have, but at the end of the day, there are tools out there to do it, but you have to recognize the process, and the process is the entire point A to point Z to make sure you get all that information. So, AJ, I'm loving this. This is some great info. What is the one thing, though, that you really want our audience to remember from this particular episode? What is the one thing they should be concentrating on when they're really thinking about using sponsored updates or using ads on LinkedIn?
Ah, so many. Hard to choose. Okay. All right. So here's going to be mine. It's testing different assets. Mm. I think a lot of, especially smaller advertisers go, okay, we worked so hard on creating this white paper. We're going to use this until it's dead, until the audience is not responding anymore. But I think we as marketers, we're starting to come around to this idea of content marketing where we say, you know, we understand that people interact with different types of content in different types of situations in different places. So let's take that same white paper and let's turn it into an ebook. Mm-hmm. And then let's take the concepts from that and build a podcast out of it or build a YouTube video. And you have all these different ways that you can repackage that same asset. LinkedIn's a huge fan of this. Their Jason Miller will talk constantly about building this big rock piece of content, something research that you've put lots of work into, and then finding different ways of repackaging it.
Absolutely. I'm a big advocate for that approach, a huge advocate for that approach, because it is one big idea replicated in different meaningful ways, whether it's video, audio, visual, written text, infographic. I mean, you literally can take that one big idea per quarter and base your whole marketing campaigns around that one big idea for the quarter.
Totally. And even on top of that, people will interact with different types of content in different ways. And so you may find that your cost per lead is lower on a white paper than it is on an infographic, let's say, or a video type of offer. And so you need to be testing this because you need to learn more about your audience. That's part of the power of LinkedIn's extremely powerful B2B targeting.
You know what, AJ? We are coming to the end of this interview, and Mike and I cannot thank you enough, and especially on behalf of our audience, for sharing this great, meaningful insight. So, AJ, what is the best way for people to find out more about you, other than visiting your LinkedIn profile, which we'll include in the show notes?
So I'm pretty easily reached. On Twitter, I'm Wilcox AJ, and my website is b2linked.com. If anyone needs help with their LinkedIn advertising campaigns, I'm your guy.
Sounds great. AJ, thank you so much again for being on the show.
Thank you, AJ.
Thanks so much for the invite, guys.
Micah, AJ gave us a huge amount of information.
He is a rock star. He says it rocks.
I loved his ideas on targeting. Totally did not even think about thinking of skills and common groups. I mean, that was pretty cool, right?
Yes.
So next episode, though, is something that, again, we have another member of our super secret LinkedIn group who we are going to be interviewing. And here's why.
Right.
Because, Micah, you want to tell the members of our audience who that's going to be?
Yes, we're going to hear from Dylan Jones.
Dylan Jones. And the reason we're going to have Dylan on is because he has actually done two things that are right to the heart of this show. He's been
using
LinkedIn to drive traffic and make money from his Rainmaker site. So yes, this is definitely going to be a little self-serving, but it was fascinating to hear his story in our group about using LinkedIn on a brand new Rainmaker site, how he made, you know, tens of thousands of dollars just going through driving traffic from LinkedIn over to Rainmaker. So I think our next episode is going to be one of those, again, great case studies that, granted, we have a personal vested interest in that story.
Just a little.
Well, Micah, that's it for this week. And once again, a great show. And I think we are done, Micah. Any parting thoughts?
Just have a great day, and we'll see you in our super secret LinkedIn group soon.
Everyone have a great week, and thank you again for listening to The Missing Link.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.